You're leaving us? Well, bless you. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But the part that stood out to me was the word alienated, that they are alienated from the life of God. And if we read before that, we read Paul saying that he's a prisoner of the Lord, and he beseeches them to walk worthy of the calling with which they were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Paul's a prisoner, and Paul's encouraging them, just keep walking worthy of God's call. Honestly, there are some that take it to the extreme to think, you really can't be a good Christian unless you go to prison, unless you're suffering greatly, and that ought to be the way it is, but that wouldn't make much sense because Jesus said, I've come that you might be made free, that you might have life, that you might have life abundantly, that you might be made whole, that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be made full. All of that doesn't exactly sound like it's a destination of prison, and yet all of that is ours even in prison. Paul said, I am content in all circumstances. But he wasn't trying to set himself up as the standard of the way he was then. He was just telling him, listen, just keep walking. Don't let this stop you. You keep walking worthy of the call of God. Just keep walking. You can imagine if their apostle, their father in the Lord, the one that they looked up to, all of a sudden he's in jail, that they could easily become discouraged. That they could easily begin to say, wow, if he who, casts out demons and he who heals sickness and he who does all of that ends up in jail, what do we have to look forward to? But the Apostle Paul was encouraging them to look forward to life in God. Look forward to what God says. No matter what our circumstances are, we can look forward to what God says, that we can plan. Remember when we talked about, what are you preparing for? Are you preparing for the worst or preparing for the best? Are you planning for the worst or are you planning for the best? John, you're in the middle of a project. Are you planning for that to turn out terrible and to hate it? No, you're planning to thoroughly enjoy it. I remember when we were adding on to the house, I would tell Vicki that I wanted to like it when I got done, not hate it, because I had to just keep at it and keep at it. So she was patient with me, and I'm still finishing things. But, what are we planning for? What are we preparing for? And so the Apostle Paul said, as a prisoner, I'm telling you, keep on. And then when he talks about the Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's in you. Paul was reminding them, he's in you. Remember who's in you. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is in you. He said, I'm with you and I will be in you. He said, when I go, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And when I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will dwell in you and he will empower you. And so he was reminding them of who they were. And we need to sometimes even stand in the mirror and remind ourselves, who we are and who is in us. And when I got to verse 9, too, it says verse 11, it says, He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. He was talking about Jesus, and it suddenly hit me. He said, okay, He himself gave some. He himself, Jesus, when he was on this earth, gave some. He sent them out. He gave some. There were some. There was Philip who ended up going out. And remember, he went out as the first evangelist, as they like to say. You know, all of a sudden he was somewhere else. But these people had traveled with him, and he gave some for that. And he gave some for that, for the equipping of the saints, till we all come to this place. And that's what we talk about all the time, that till we all come to this. Because you've got teacher in you. You've got pastor in you. You've got apostle in you. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. And at different times, you will manifest those gifts. Now, that doesn't mean that you'll go be an apostle to Africa, but it doesn't mean you can't be either. But it means that you have. He is in you all. He ascended on high, and he gave gifts to men. And I just looked at that, and I said, wow, it says, you know, he himself gave. When he was on the earth, he gave this. He sent these people. He anointed them. He taught them. And he said, now you go and you tell everyone. And it says, when they went, they went. And he said, now remember, when you go making disciples. You go commanding them to do all that I have taught you. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. So you go, and if they observe it, then what should they in turn do? They should manifest it, shouldn't they? And so Jesus started this out, and it was intended to continue on, right? We don't believe that it ended with 11 or with 12 because Paul replaced one, do we? We know that that continued on. If it did not continue on, then we're alienated from the life of God. Now, he goes on and he talks about the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and for the perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And he's lining up with all of these things, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, known by every joint supplied according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Everyone manifesting these characteristics of Christ, everyone operating the way that Jesus operated, these and greater things will you do because I go to the Father. Did Jesus say that or didn't he? He said it. It's in red in my Bible. And so he said it. And now we know that not everything that he said was even written down. Because if everything that he said was written down, there wouldn't have been enough paper to contain it. But there was enough written down and enough given to us so that we would have food for thought, so that we would be able to do the research. I mean, the original textbooks in mathematics did not contain everything they know about mathematics now. They've researched, they've grown, they've increased, you know, until they've come to a lot of places. And this is true in everything, but it all has the same foundation. 2 + 2 = 4. Well, we have the same Christ, who is one God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. And now he says, thus I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. Okay, what kind of futility of the minds did the Gentiles have? One futility that the Gentiles had was that they were still walking in a place where they were believing what the Jews said about you had to be a Jew. That you had to be, you know, a proselyte of theirs. That you had to do things their way. That was futile. That was over. That ended with Christ. He said, you know, I mean, that was just one example of it. He said, don't walk like Gentiles walk. Walk in something new. He said, because they were walking in that futility of their mind, they have their understanding is darkened. And they're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. They're alienated from the life of the God because they are caught up in the futility of what the men were telling them. Okay? We have the Spirit of God within us. We have the Spirit of God to teach us all things, to lead us into all things. And so he said that they were alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that was in them. Now, when he goes on and he lists they've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you've not so learned Christ. Indeed, if you have learned him, you have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning this former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The old man grows corrupt. Perfect example is a man that his hate increases to the degree that at 89 years old, he's still hating so much that he walks in to a Holocaust museum to kill a Jew. It's all he wanted to do. I mean, alienated from the life of God. So far from the life of God. So far from the love of God. So far from it. Because of what? Ignorance. Ignorance. There's a lot of ignorance stations in this world. There's a lot of ignorance stations that we can stop at and rest in our walk with God. When we stop walking with God, we sit down in an ignorance station. Now, you know, we think about the word ignorant as being an ugly word. It's just a revealing word. You know, there's a lot of things that I'm ignorant of. Things that I don't know too much about, I'm still ignorant of, aren't I? I mean, there's a certain number of things. There's nothing so terribly wrong with being ignorant of something, but there is something wrong if we refuse to learn something. And there are some things that I don't run on that level. I never had any desire to, nor do I believe that I would have the aptitude to be a neurosurgeon. I think that, you know, but if somebody was going to operate on my head, I'd want to look at all their pictures and know something about what they were going to do. I don't know. Maybe if I was in that position, I would begin to study a lot more, but I don't know. But, you know, I mean, it doesn't bother me to not know something. But it does bother me if something that I don't know keeps me from something that I want. When it comes to the things of God, I don't want to be alienated from the life of God because of ignorance of the things of God. And there's no thing of God that I need to be ignorant of because he has given us all things. We can get understanding. The Bible says that we can get understanding. And ultimately, when it comes to the things of God, we live by faith and not by sight. So even the things that I don't understand, I can have faith and respond as though they are finished, right? Isn't that what the Bible tells us to do? And so I don't want to allow anything to alienate me from the life of God. We look at that list of things and, well, yeah, those are a bunch of sins, you know. Putting away lying, supposed to speak the truth. Your members, don't be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. You know, put off all those ugly things. And those are ugly things. But where do those things really grow up out of? Don't those things grow up out of unbelief? Doesn't sin increase as unbelief increases? As we alienate ourselves from the life of God, isn't that what makes it more palatable, more convenient, easier for people to sin? Isn't it just unbelief? People who don't believe all of that Jesus stuff, you know, and they just say, well, you know, this is the way we are, and times have changed, you know. And even the church, in ignorance in some areas of the church, they'll fall into that and say, well, yeah, times have changed, and homosexuality is no longer an abomination. I don't even see in Revelation where it says that that's going to change. But yet we can become alienated from the life of God so deep in unbelief that we say, well, yeah, you know, because he is loving and he is merciful. So, you know, maybe he could change his mind about that. Well, to be honest with you, when I get to heaven, if I find out that he did change his mind about that, I don't think he's going to be angry with me that I didn't catch that. But I've never heard him say to me, Roger, I've changed my mind about that. And I don't really believe anyone who tells me that they think that he changed his mind about that. Because they're not totally convinced of it either. Or they wouldn't be so angry about it. But we're alienated from the life of God when we move into unbelief. What was the greatest sin? The one that kept that could keep Israel out of the promised land? Unbelief. What's the one sin that can keep people out of the kingdom of God? Unbelief. All the other ones can be forgiven. All the other ones are forgiven. All the other ones are washed away into the sea of forgiveness. God has already provided for all the forgiveness there is. The only one that is not provided for is unbelief. If we refused to believe. And that's the ultimate ignorance, the refusal to believe. But they have been alienated from the life of God. If we will be, for one thing, we've got to be convinced about the life of God. We've got to be convinced of the promises of God. We've got to be convinced in our heart that he changes not. So that we have an expectancy of the life of God and an understanding of what is the life of God, so that we will recognize when we are alienated from the life of God. And then we need to figure out what's alienating us from the life of God. Is it just a momentary lapse? It's not that we've stopped expecting. It's not that we're ignorant about it. It's that we are wrestling to get through. Or is it something where somewhere along the line we've stopped? We've stopped at an ignorance station. We've refused to move on. And so here we are, knowing only too well, I'm just not experiencing the life of God. Now, sometimes people will come to that spot where they realize they're being alienated from the life of God, and they will see others experiencing the life of God, and they will desire that life of God. And other times, they will decide that they're more comfortable in their ignorance, and they will just simply say, that life of God stuff just isn't right. You know, I enjoyed when my nephew texted me and said, talking to the neurosurgeon, that the neurosurgeon said, you guys are so peaceful, you know, you're freaking me out. But it's the presence of God. It's the life of God being manifest. And if ever we were at a time where the life of God needed to be manifest, we're at one of those times. Jesus came at just the right time, and he was the manifestation of the life of God. He came and he manifested the life of God at just the right time. And people saw the life of God. They didn't know what they were seeing. And Jesus finally said, have I been with you so long and you don't know yet that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? He was telling them that I'm showing you the life of God. And this is the life that I want for you. This is the life that I expect for you. This is the life that I want you to manifest. Now, the Apostle Paul, in jail, we know that he manifested the life of God. We know that he had revivals, or, you know, history says that. I mean, he had a standing engagement in the prison with guards, with people coming in to see him, and they would leave. They talk about Corrie Ten Boom when Corrie Ten Boom was in the hospital after she'd had a stroke, and people would go to visit her, and they would say that they would be ministered to as they sat there in her presence, because she was still manifesting the life of God at that place. We are in a world where the life of God needs to be manifest. And don't you think God wants to manifest his life? I had a weird dream. It was a reoccurring dream throughout the night. And it really, it didn't make a lot of sense at all to me. But it kept coming, and it kept, you know, I wake up and I go back to sleep, and it was still this same thing. And ultimately, it was basically, it ended up being with the Lord just speaking a word to me about anonymity. And then as I saw him some more, I realized that what he was saying, what I believe he was telling me was, is that we can no longer be anonymous Christians. There can no longer be anonymity in a Christian life. In other words, it's time to manifest. That it's time for us to open up and allow the life of God to really manifest. To manifest to us and through us and around us. You know, there've been a lot of people who are living an anonymous life as a Christian. You know? Now, there are times of privacy, there are times to grow, there are times to come along, but in this dream the ultimate thing was is that it was like it was a small group of people that had been running this, well, I take too long to explain it, but they were running this thing, it was like a business, but it was going on and on and on and on, and they were running it until now the whole thing was going to be coming to an end, but the only way that they could partake of all of the benefits of all this time that they'd been running it was, is that they could no longer be anonymous. That they were going to have to be revealed. They were going to have to reveal themselves in order to partake of what they had been running all of this time. And the thing had run, and it had run into something that was worth a great deal. But they really didn't want anyone to know that they had been the ones for all this time. But now, in order for it to be like the idea of the terms of a trust or something, but the final thing was is that it came down and each one had to be revealed. And then there was one who had been the head of it, and that one finally, and so that they could no longer be anonymous. And because in order to partake of what they had worked so hard for, they now had to be revealed, and it had to be revealed. Well, as I sought the Lord about it, I began to realize that that's the thing in partaking of the life of God. We can't just be anonymous. We can't have an amenity to it, but it's got to be revealed in us. It's time to let it out, and that takes confidence, and that takes assurance, that takes trust in God, that God will do what he has said that he would do. It takes standing. When you've done everything to stand, but to stand and to reveal the Lord, to reveal the life of God. The world needs to see the life of God. Absolutely does. I mean, the world is seeing Satan manifested, seeing the increase of hatred, seeing the increase of ignorance in huge numbers, great multiplication of numbers. I mean, we're seeing things, we're seeing, and we're hearing the news talk about the impossibility of what's happening to the economy. We're seeing every kind of a thing, and you know, what a place for the life of God to be manifest. What a place for God to manifest his favor. What a place for people to stand up and just receive and release the life of God. And it would be ignorance, only ignorance, that would cause us not to want to be a part of that. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge, it's a lack of understanding, but it's beyond that because it's a refusal to understand it. It's a thing of standing and saying I'm stupid and proud of it. You know? It's refusing to get understanding. And it said that they've been alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. If we are going to get something out, that's what we need to get out. You know, to desire those things of God, to not allow ourselves to be alienated from the righteousness, the joy, and the peace of the Holy Spirit. Because those are the life of God. Those are the foundations of the life of God. And as long as we recognize those things, then we're in good shape. If any of those things are being kept from us, then we're alienated from the life of God. And, you know, if we're going to be aliens, let's be aliens to this world, not alienated from the life of God. And when we are manifesting the life of God, there will be times when you will be alienated in the world. But that's okay. It's better to be alienated in the world than alienated from the life of God. Because in Him was life. He was the light of the world. He was and He is all things. And so we cannot allow ourselves to be alienated from the life of God. We need to understand that the life of God is the hope of the world. The life of God is the thing that will make all of this okay. And the Lord has promised to watch over us and take care of us. The Lord has promised us that the life of God would be all around us, that it would consume us, that it would be ours. And all we have to do is just commit ourselves to that life. Submit ourselves to Him manifesting that life. Paul said, just walk. Just walk. Worthy of the calling with which you were called. We were called to life, weren't we? Just walk in life. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Just don't allow yourself. We cannot allow ourselves to be alienated from the life of God. And it takes a fighting a good fight of faith. Because there's everything. Every power of darkness wants to keep us from the life of God. Wants to throw us into doubt. Wants to throw us into fear. Wants to throw us into all those things that are not the life of God. But the only thing that can keep us out of it is ignorance. The Bible says, I would no longer have you be ignorant, brethren. Don't fall for the fake. Last night in the basketball game, there was one place where Kobe Bryant is—he's a really good basketball player—and these guys were playing really good defense on him, but he'd go to fake his shot, and they would leave his feet, and they'd say, "Oh, they're working hard, but that's a fundamental error. You got to play smart. You can't leave your feet on the fake. You got to wait for the shot." Well, that's why he fakes, to get them to leave their feet. That's why the enemy fakes. That's why he throws you deception, to try to deceive you, to try to get you to respond in ignorance rather than respond with, aha, can't fool me. So if we become, you know, battlers for the life of God, if we become, you know, so focused that we recognize everything fake, then we won't be alienated by ignorance that is in us. But listen, if you run into a spot where you say, wow, was I ignorant? So what? It's a genius that can recognize that they're ignorant and fix their mistake. I mean, that's just one step from having it fixed when you recognize that it's wrong. So it's not like we're never going to come to a place where we slap our heads and go, wow, how could I be so foolish? But the key then is to fix it and not allow ourselves to be alienated from the life of God. You fool me once, but you won't fool me twice. Because I'm determined to stay on that road to the King's highway, that life of God. Because, you know, I think it's an exciting time. I think it's really an exciting time to be alive. When darkness is trying to close in and the life of God just begins to open up and open up and open up and open up. And see the things that are happening. When I talked to my nephew, I said, you know, I think they probably got a lot of people checking out of that hospital earlier just because all of the praise and the worship that's going on in the hospital. As soon as all those people are out, you get to leave too, you know, because, you know, they've got that thing going on. They're manifesting the life of God. And, you know, that life of God, they had a nurse that came to him and said, you know, this thing that's going on here with you guys and with Brexton is opening so many doors. She said, I've been a Christian. I've always wanted to have an opportunity, you know, to minister more at work and stuff. He said, this is just opening doors. She said, I've even gotten to talk to doctors that, you know, previous to this, they thought they were God, and now they're talking about spiritual things. And so, you know, it's exciting. The life of God, we don't have any idea what God has in mind, but we can get excited to be a part of it. And as we're excited to be a part of it, we'll see it happen. We may see it walking into it, and we may recognize it walking away from it, but all of a sudden we'll go, wow. That was the life of God. That was just the life of God manifesting right there. We'll find ourselves with understanding that we didn't know we had, sharing it with somebody. And they'll be grabbing understanding, and we'll be wondering if we even told them the right thing. And they'll just be enlightened, you know, because the life of God, one word from God, changes people's lives. And so we become people not alienated from the life of God, but consumed by the life of God, and thereby manifesting that life of God. That's walking worthy of the walk that we've been called to. That's allowing He who is in us to reveal Himself to the world through us. It's like Paul said, you know, imitate the Christ you see in me. Paul knew there was stuff coming out of him that he'd only see it as it left. Good things, the life of God going on. And he said, this is the thing to imitate. This is the thing. Be imitators of God. Don't allow yourself to be alienated from His life. It's been rolling and rolling, and it's been building momentum. And at such a time as this, you know, they're talking. One more thing I'll just say, I think I mentioned this before, but they're talking now. I read it on the internet that they're really talking up this swine flu, this H1N1 or whatever it is, and they're really gearing up for it to just explode in the fall, you know, and things like that. I tell you what, Christians, we need to have no fear. We need to be prepared to just the life of God manifesting from us. Not only health in us, but health through us. And who knows what else God has in store that He's going to overcome and that He's going to magnify Himself in you. He's in you. And just as Jesus Himself gave some and left them doing those things. So the Holy Spirit is continuing to anoint you. And he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And just don't be ignorant of those things. Be ye seekers of God. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. I'm so thankful that yes, we are pilgrims and strangers and we are aliens in this world. And yet we are in this world, though we aren't of this world. But Father, may we be people who refuse to be alienated from the life of God. To refuse to be robbed of the life that God has planned for us and the life that he has planned for others through us. Lord, we would be people who would recognize ignorance, our own ignorance, so quickly that it would be turned into understanding. So, Lord, we would never spend more than just a brief moment alienated from the life of God before, bang, a light comes on and it's manifested. So we thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit working in us will see to that, hear our prayer, answer it, and manifest in this world that is in so great need of you, Father. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.